And today, the passage that I will read and preach from is in chapter 1, and we begin at verse number 18 and go through verse number 32, which is the end of the chapter. So if you prefer to stand for the reading of the Word of God, I invite you to do so, and you can follow along in your copy as you hear me read it. Reminding us, this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of Almighty God. It is, thus saith the Lord. So let's hear what he would say to us today. Romans 1, verse 18 and following. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman, and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. You may be seated. Well, in the very first line of verse 18, in fact, the second, third, fourth, and fifth words read like this: the wrath of God. So that is the subject matter today. That is the title of the sermon. Now, I know that's probably a difficult thing to hear about, but I want you to hang in here with me, for when I get to the conclusion, I'm going to turn you to a book and chapter and some verses that will be extremely comforting and encouraging to those of us who believe are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this message really applies to those who are yet lost and dead in their trespasses and sins. And yet those people need to hear it, as well as we need to be reminded of it and remember again what we will escape, but not all will escape. The wrath of God is a very real thing. And here's the definition of it. The wrath of God is his anger and indignation in his opposition to sinfulness and wickedness and evil that's perpetrated and done by his creatures. And all of this is due to his holiness. Now, let me remind us of some of the positive things about God. This is a positive thing too, although some might not agree with it. But nonetheless, the Bible tells us a great deal about God. But at the same time, in Psalm 145:3, we read that he is incomprehensible. In other words, we do not know and are not aware of all that God is. What we do know about him is what he has revealed to us. He has revealed to us that he is all-powerful, that he is all-knowing, that he is everywhere present, that he is sovereign. In John chapter 4, he reveals to us that he is a spirit. He has revealed to us that he exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible makes it clear. God reveals to us he's unchangeable. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is righteous. He is loving. He's good, kind, forgiving, forbearing, patient. He's a God of grace and mercy. And he is also holy. He is also pure. There is no sin in him. And those last few words of that song that we just sang, that there's nothing wrong with him at all. And so because of these things and because of his holiness, he is also a God of justice and a God of punishment and a God of wrath. And so today the focus is going to be on the wrath of God. Now, this very these verses also go on to tell us that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. And God has created us with a conscience, although it seems to me that there are many in our world today and in our culture today who have hardened their conscience and their heart to be so hard that they're unable to distinguish between that which is right and that which is wrong. They have become very evil and wicked and sinful and deserving of the wrath of God. Well, God goes on to tell us in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. So God has revealed himself in what we understand is called in theological circles through natural revelation, his entire creation. And God spoke the entire universe into being. He upholds it with his mighty right hand. He set the sun exactly where it is and the correct distance from the earth and other things. He put the moon in place, the stars in place, the earth in its place. And he has created all of this. That's called his natural revelation. And so the verse goes on to tell us, because of God's creation and the power that it took to put all this into place, that men are without excuse to know that he exists. Now, his natural revelation is not enough revelation to give them the understanding of salvation. That comes in his special revelation, which is his word, the Bible. And again, our mission statement is that we are here to glorify God by believing, teaching, preaching, obeying his word, the Bible, and sharing all of his truth with others. And so when it comes to a subject like this, I don't shy away from it, because we're to share all of God's truth with others, be they in the worship service or outside the worship service. But every opportunity we get, we should fully proclaim that which is true in God's word, even if some people don't want to hear it. I can remember before I became a Christian, I didn't want to hear it and thought it was a waste of time. But it is not a waste of time. And I even prayed for some that they would be here today to hear this with the hope and prayer that God would use the truth of it to convict them of sin and cause them to acknowledge, confess, and repent of sin so that they don't have to endure this throughout eternity. Well, men are without excuse to know that God is. And yet he goes on to say in these verses, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And this matter of giving thanks is one of the character traits of us who are Christians. We are thankful that he has saved us. We are thankful for all that he does for us each day. And so we give thanks to him. And there's a lot in the Bible about giving thanks, Old Testament and New. Well, these people did not honor him as God, nor give thanks. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, they had hard hearts. And so, professing to be wise, verse 22 says, they became fools. A wise person acknowledges that God is. And the beginning of wisdom is to know the Lord and learn of him. And how foolish it is to run in the opposite direction. How futile and foolish a life is that's lived apart from Christ and God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a depressing thing to see and to witness those who do not believe, those who are not born again, and all of the struggles and frustrations that they have, and they have those without hope because they are not the children of God and He is not their Father. They do not acknowledge Him. They continue to disobey Him. Not honoring him, not respecting him, not seeking to learn of him. They just go their own way and reap the consequences of that kind of life. Now, this goes on to tell us that they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God from an image in the form of corruptible man for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Now, I want us to fully grasp these next words in verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. In fact, they were so rebellious and disrespectful to Almighty God that his decision was, okay, if that's the way you want to live, I'm not going to intervene. I'm just going to let you go right ahead with your heart's desire, and you'll reap the consequences in this life for your behavior. And if I never intervene down the road, you're going to be experiencing my wrath throughout all of eternity in the fire of hell forever. That's the direction your life is going in. And right now, that's the direction of your eternity. God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. And he goes on to reveal to us in this passage, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Is blessed forever. Amen. And then he reveals in verses 26 and 27 that these things, for this reason, and again the same words again, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. In other words, lesbianism, women with women, doing unspeakable things. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So it's talking here about the homosexual practices of both men with men and women with women. Now, I want you to turn with me for a moment back in the Old Testament to the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, God reveals to us some of these detestable things, things that rile up his wrath, things that bring forth his anger and indignation toward people who practice such things. Well, in Leviticus 18, pick it up at verse 19. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. And you shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. Neither shall you give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech. By the way, that was a practice of some of them. They offered up their babies, their children, in sacrifices by throwing them in the fire. Now, that's as despicable as you can imagine. That was a lot like what Hamas did to some of the Israelites back in October when they went in and did what they did to those people. They even put some of the babies in the ovens and turned the ovens on to kill them. Other babies, they cut their heads off. The women, they raped and mutilated. Horrible, 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 detestable things. No wonder the wrath of God exists. Well, let's read on, verse 21 and following. Neither shall you give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Now listen to these words. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Now, that's a very strong word, that word abomination. But that's the word of God and what he thinks about homosexuality. It's an abomination. It means it's a detestable thing. It's an unacceptable thing. It's a disgusting thing. It's an awful thing. And yet we have those in our culture who not only do the same, but give hearty approval to it. I'll read that verse again when we get to it. Verse 23. Also, you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. And so the word goes on, and the word abomination is used again in verse 26. And again in verse 27, and again in verse 29, and again in verse 30 of Leviticus 18. So now we begin to get a picture of why God's anger and indignation is aroused by such sinful behavior. Go with me to the New Testament book of Jude. It's the last book prior to the book of the Revelation. And I'm not going to take us to Genesis 19. However, I will tell you a brief word about it. That's concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. And homosexuality was the big sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can go back and read all the detail about it. And God sent two angels from heaven to that city to warn Lot and his family. And the men of the city saw those two angels who appeared like men. They thought they were men, and they went into Lot's house. And so the men of the city went to Lot's house and said, the men that came into your house, send them out to us that we might have relations with them. And that word simply means send them out to us so that we can engage in sexual immorality with them. Do you remember what Lot's response was? I have two daughters who are virgins. Let me send them out to you, and you can do with them as you please. But they didn't want the daughters. They wanted the men. God had given them over to that kind of depraved mind and thinking and behavior. Well, the angels got around to saying to Lot, God's fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and you need to get you and your family out of here. Y'all need to go to the mountains, and you don't need to look back. And even as they went, we know the rest of that story. Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And God rained down fire and utterly destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He poured out his wrath upon them because of their despicable, abominable behavior. God's wrath is real, and people need to hear about it, and people need to know about it. Well, in the book of Jude, are you there? Verse 7. Let's read what this says. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So if you run into family or friends who dismiss hell and the eternity of the fire of hell, you could take them to this passage and then tell them, go back and read Genesis 8:19. And God destroyed those cities with fire as an example of what his wrath is going to look like in eternity for those who die apart from Christ. It's a very real thing. Well, let's go now to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I know some might say, well, preacher, you picking on the homosexual. No, I'm not. I'm just telling it like it is. And if you know any of them, and I've had at least one in our family, not our immediate family, but extended family. There may have been two. I suspect the second I know of was one. And it's a sad thing. You may have some of these in your family. If you do, you would do well to warn them of the wrath of God. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And not only is this sin of homosexuality mentioned, but there are other sins mentioned as well. It's not just homosexuality that gets God's wrath ignited. It's other sinful, wicked, evil behavior as well. Let's read these words. Pick it up at verse 9, 10, and 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's a question. And asked them the question in the church at Corinth. And there were some of them who were living very immorally. And he confronts them with that. But here he's raising the question, basically saying to them, don't you know this? You ought to know this. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he tells them, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, Now, that's sexual immorality prior to marriage. After marriage, it's adultery, but prior to, it's fornication, all kinds of sexual immorality. Nor idolatry. That gets God's dander up too. If people have an idol, one or more. Nor adulterers. That's committing sexual immorality while married, but doing so with one outside of marriage. Nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. So God labels all of these sins as worthy of his wrath, worthy of his punishment, worthy of the fire of hell itself for all eternity. But I want us to see what's in verse 11, because this gives them and Corinth and us too, and our relatives and those we know, some hope. If, here's what it says, and such were some of you, that's past tense. Homosexuals can be born again of the Spirit of God, forgiven of that sin and changed and given new life in Christ. Just like adulterers and idolaters and effeminate and thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and swindlers. Any man being Christ, he is a new creature. Those things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. People who live that kind of abominable lifestyle, if God so intervenes and causes them to be born again, they will be forgiven of all of that. And they too will have eternal life in Christ, even as those who believe in Christ who've never done any of those things. In Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, regardless of how bad, big, or little. We who are Christians, we who are children of God, are totally, completely forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and whatever ones we commit in the future. Now, that ought to ring our bells and encourage us greatly and cause us to give thanks. I'm thankful my sins are covered by the blood of Christ. I would be without hope if that were not the case. And so is everyone else. Well, let's go back now to Romans. Romans 1. And in these last four or five verses, 28 through 32, we are reminded of the radical corruption of human beings, of the human heart. I know our 5 points of Calvinism, the very first one, starts with a T. It's the only way you can spell tulip. You can't spell tulip beginning with an R. It has to be T-U-L-I-P. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement. I even prefer the term definite. Irresistible grace and perseverance of the saints. Total depravity. The radical corruption of every human being. That warrants the wrath of God. Well, let me just read these verses again. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, and here's that term again, for the third time, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give heartily approval to those who practice them. And we're just getting started. Guess what the title of next Sunday's sermon is? I'll give you a little hint. Three words mentioned in verse 2 of chapter 2, verse 3 of chapter 2, and again, the last three words in verse 5 of chapter 2. The judgment of God. Today's been about the wrath. Next Sunday, Lord willing, it'll be about God's judgment. And I have some other things to say about this section, but I'll deal with that next week as we deal with the subject of God's judgment. And by the way, there is a judgment day coming. And if you want to read the Westminster Confession of Faith on that, it's chapter number 33, the last chapter in the Confession of Faith. But all men should know that day is on God's calendar. We don't know when it is, but he does. And one day it will be a reality. Let's bow our, well, I got to take you to the verses I was going to encourage you with before I pray, okay? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9, 10, and 11. And we ought to rejoice and give thanks in this verse 9. Listen to what it says. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. And you should be encouraged and built up that God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His wrath will never touch us who are his. But it will one day be poured out in its fullest measure to those who are not his. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. Convict and convince us of it. Enable us, Lord, to point others to you that they may